Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Yes, that's a good idea. We're in the final hour of today. Today's gone very quickly. So if you need to get in touch with me, give me a holler, 855-99-375-69. And we'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind, what we have been chatting about on and off, interspersed with phone calls, is the story that the French government has decided to, or is at least considering, a ban on anorexic models, that France is still, that Paris is still the, I suppose we could argue that Milan maybe as well, but that Paris is still the fashion capital of the world. And they're deciding that the message it's sending to young women, let alone not so young women, is that the way the ideal body shape is something that's really unhealthy, that very anorexic kind of women, which is sort of interesting if you think about it, since for most of human history, the sign of wealth and blessings was to be heavy, because that most of the world was starving, so that if you had a few extra pounds, that was considered the ideal, because that's what you could aspire to. And now with 60% of the world obese, although still a huge number of people are still starving, that somehow looking starving has gotten sexy. I don't know, it's kind of backward thinking if you think about it. So anyway, they're talking about banning women on the runway, and presumably men as well, who don't have a specific BMI, so that and that there would be serious fines and all sorts of things like that. So we just asked the musical question, because it's kind of an interesting statement of society. What behavior do you think should be banned and why? So let's that loud music has certainly gotten a huge number of votes. Let's see what else we got here.
Bethany says, men that lie, there should be severe consequences for this.
There's so many things that come to mind. Yeah, good luck on that one. Well, I suppose it's you know, that a man, I suppose, can only lie if a woman is a bit naive. I would certainly follow into that category, I'm afraid, that perhaps we need. It's not even that we need to be less trusting. It's that if something is too good to be true, it is. And it's not only, I mean, it's very easy to say, you know, the way you can tell a man's lying is his lips are moving. But, I mean, part of it is it's a co-conspiracy. I've never forgotten the comment of one of my friends who said the reason that men behave so badly is women tolerate it. And to a certain extent, we're willing to believe the lies because the lies are quite often things that we want to believe to begin with. So if we don't lead the witness quite as much, and we're a little bit more realistic, and we don't rush into to relationships thinking this is the perfect person, that maybe that men would be a little bit more dedicated to being honest with us. Because quite often when they're honest with us, we are not crazy about it. When we say, does this make my butt look fat? And they say, yes. How could they? We start crying. Okay, so, but good luck on that one.
Bill says, nose picking. To be honest, I don't even think he needs to give a reason why. I think we all kind of know why.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's always when people think nobody's watching them. Although it's even worse when, I mean, people like pick their nose on the subway, and then the question is, what do they do with it? I mean, it's really not a pleasant thought. Or in cars, right? When the guy next to you doesn't think anybody's watching.
Yeah, yeah. Dana says twerking.
Somebody was explaining to me that twerking was a very old kind of behavior, that it's been around for a very long time.
It is. The thing of it is, when the Miley Cyrus MTV Movie Awards thing came about, when that happened, it kind of became
It became popular.
Yeah, it became kind of a household name, term, I guess, personally. Yeah. But, yeah, people have been doing it forever, just for a long time, seemingly. So.
Hence chiropractors.
Yeah, yeah. Margaret says, banning behavior is silly. Something is right or wrong. Teach your children to know the difference. If their behavior is not acceptable, punishment should be the decision of the parents. Certain types of behavior is criminal, punishable by fines and or prison. Know what is legal and what is not, and be ready to do the time when you break the law.
Okay, now, but wait a minute. Having said that, what would you do about underweight models? What would you do about noisy car radios? And to a certain extent, you could say, well, there are noise pollution laws, but first of all, you have to achieve a certain decibel level before those laws become swing into account. So there's a whole lot of behavior that is uncivilized. It may or may not be illegal. It may or may not be wrong in the moral sense, but it's irritating or it's thoughtless. So, you know, I'm not sure that the world is quite as black and white as you're making it seem.
Because noise, you know, noise ordinances are kind of, it's almost kind of a judgment call, isn't it? It's just kind of whatever.
Well, no, they can actually come in and measure the decibel level, but the decibel levels are surprisingly high.
Mm-hmm.
And public disturbance is obviously going to be in the eye of a beholder.
Right. That's kind of what I meant. What I meant is just if it's if the noise is disturbing someone, then that's just kind of their own, that person's own.
Well, look, you don't even have to be there. All you have to do is be, like, on vacation and somebody, or even in your apartment building where somebody's having a loud party.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody above, you know, in your apartment or your hotel is playing music too loud or is giggling or is having a party. That those behaviors are not necessarily illegal. They're just thoughtless. So and they're not immoral per se.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably, I mean, I suppose you could say to your kid, you know, have you ever thought about another person? But, I don't think the behavior we're talking about is illegal or immoral. It's just upsetting. Or difficult.
Sherry says, tampering someone's job results so they get fired.
Whoa. Tampering somebody's job results?
Yeah, that's what it's.
I don't know exactly what that means.
Hmm.
Falsifying data?
Yeah, maybe. I'm guessing it's, you know, if somebody was, you know, if it's some sort of an office job and they're supposed to put together some sort of plan for
report.
Somebody sabotages it somehow, or yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand exactly what that one means, to be quite honest. But I was just reading a story about a graduate student who actually discovered opiate receptors in the brain, and she wasn't given credit for it. I mean, that's the problem about being a graduate student. Quite often, you're working in somebody else's lab, and they get credit for what you do, but still. And she apparently made a fuss about it. She only died a couple of years ago, and she was only 67, which is not that old, right?
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
Mariko just says, lying.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about lying, and I suppose one of the things that make those of us who are a bit naive sort of a little bit more comfortable is that even when we don't know that someone's lying, they usually do. I mean, there are sociopaths who don't know the difference between right and wrong, but by and large, liars know when they're lying. So even if you don't, they do, and one assumes that they come more or less with a conscience. And if they don't, even if they don't come with a conscience, they probably come with a sense that that they may be caught. You know, so they're under scrutiny. There's a certain amount of stress associated with it. I don't know. I mean, I agree. It would be nice if everyone always told the truth. And we could all tell when... Yeah. I mean, as I said, whenever I do a seminar, somebody always wants me to tell them about body language and how they can tell when somebody's lying. What can I tell you? 855-99-37569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Hi, Coast to Coast listeners. I'm Kay Zwirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of George Norrie because his topics and guests are fascinating and really get you thinking. George is just as bothered as I am by all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX, which together are called the Healthy Start Pack. I recommend you go online to criticalhealthnews.com to purchase these products. That's criticalhealthnews.com or call 855-949-RADIO.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Have a question? Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All righty, 855-99-37569. Okay, let's hear some more behaviors that that should be banned. And we're sort of doing this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'm putting you in charge of the universe so you can ban any behavior you want.
Just got a couple more here. One from Annabella. She says, littering because it makes the world ugly. And cell phones for the same reason, she says.
Yeah, but do you, I mean, have you ever left your cell phone behind and then have to go back for it? Yeah, I mean, you feel like naked the whole day.
Yeah.
We've become so dependent on them.
Especially when there's so many other things you can do with a cell phone now besides just call people. I mean, there's texting, there's... People are checking their emails on their phones now, and it's...
And they're playing games, and, like, I couldn't get the Final Four game on television, so I just kept doing it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we keep up.
Yeah. Stephanie says, animal abuse in all forms. Dogs and cats, of course, but also the abuse that millions of factory farm animals are forced to endure year after year.
You know, it's really interesting. When I was a new mom, I mean, I grew up in a family where, much as I love my mother, she's a terrible cook, and we didn't have any money, so it was always, you know, very inexpensive. She made great spaghetti sauce, and she made great salads. The rest of it was just basically relatively inedible food, even though we didn't know any better, so we just ate it. But as it went out in the world, what you understood was that that's not the kind of food that other people ate. So when I was first married and when my daughter was young, I was primarily vegetarian because it turned out that we'd only had canned carrots and canned peas, which are just terrible. But real carrots and real peas are really wonderful. And I was in a food co-op at one point, and so there's all this really good fresh fruit and vegetables. And so I primarily ate fruit and vegetables. Because growing up eating meat in my family was a terrible idea because the meat was just terrible. And Mom wasn't a very good cook, so I ate a lot. And I've never really liked meat very much, but I think that's probably part of it. That I ate a little bit of fish, although didn't used to be able to get all that much fish. Fish has now become ubiquitous. Fair amount of chicken, because it was pretty hard to wreck chicken. And occasional turkey, but turkey, you know, when I was growing up, was basically for Thanksgiving and or Christmas, and that was about it. So, and then as a grown-up, I still don't really eat meat, but the older I get, the more I really like grains and fruits and vegetables. And it's really interesting that it's what my body tolerates the best, it's what I like the best, given... it's not really a political statement as much as just what tastes the best to me and what I have the easiest time digesting. And, you know, I've really become kind of a fan of tofu. And given a choice between tofu and, like, chicken, I'll probably choose tofu. And really don't eat beef, don't eat lamb, don't eat pork. So it's just kind of interesting that I think the older you get, the more, and certainly there are more fruits and vegetables available now than there used to be, and by and large you can get fresh fruits and vegetables almost all year round, which I don't remember as a kid that you could actually do, or maybe it's just not in my mom's neighborhood. But all right, we've got, what have I got here, a little more than a half hour, so if there's something you want to chat with me about, do me a favor and don't waste the last 3 minutes, because it will just be a little bit frustrating. Okay, a lot frustrating. And just give me a holler in the next couple minutes. But I thought the other thing that we have, we were talking about, I think, first loves at one point. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I guess that really fits into the question of somebody asking me earlier about love and lust and infatuation. So I thought we'd sort of do that as well today. We're cleaning up some... Cleaning up sounds like it's a mess, doesn't it? We're just picking. we're circling around back for some things that that got if not lost in the shuffle, at least that overcome by phone calls. All right, so should we look at some of those?
Yeah, let's look at. We asked people who their first love was.
And what happened?
We'll start with Francis. Francis says, I met him at the roller skating rink. I was in the eighth grade, not allowed to date yet. He was 17 and had a car and a job. Bad news for my mom and dad. Eventually, our first real date was my high school dance. And we are still friends after all these years. I'm now 73. He's 76. The names will not be mentioned to protect the innocent.
Well, that's pretty cute. So she's with her first love, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty.
There you go.
Marquita says, Justin Timberlake. but he didn't feel the same way. He grew up and married an actress.
How could he do that?
She says, I hear they're happy and have a kid on the way.
There you go. Well, I think that's, I suspect if he got to know you a little bit better, all of this would have been, would have changed history.
Jenny says, I met him when I was 11, started dating at 15. My family moved a year later. We both married and had kids. We both divorced and now are happily married to each other 20 years later. So
wow.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There you go.
And then just one more here from Sue Ellen. Sue Ellen just says, he grew up before I did.
That's it?
That's it.
There you go.
That's what she says.
All right. So what about your first love?
Oh, gosh. To be honest, it's funny. I didn't really date a whole lot in high school, which is, I guess, can be kind of rare at times.
It turns out, I'm not sure that's true. I think it's probably more true now than it's ever been. Is mm-hmm. that people don't date as early or as often.
Yeah, I would say. Well, I guess my first true love, would probably be my ex-wife.
Yep.
And I was 21 when we started dating. That was probably the first person that I dated that I had really deep, strong feelings for, in terms of just where it got to be kind of a real serious, serious relationship, in terms where marriage and all of that stuff is being discussed during the relationship,
Well, this is, the word serious wasn't necessarily
that's true
part of this, but no, my very first love was in first grade. And his name, his name was Craig Bushocker, and he and I had birthdays a week apart. And he had a heart defect, and he actually died when he was 7 years old. And he had very poor circulation, so he was always kind of gray. But I just thought it was so cool that we had the same birthdays, and I thought he had the coolest name. Craig Bushocker. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. My second was probably Terry Needham, but that was in high school. He was the first one who ever kind of laid a serious kiss on me. What can I tell you? 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
On Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Advice for Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
I just smashed my own microphone. I apologize, microphone.
Whoopsie.
I know. You know how you turn a radio on? I love your radio. Never mind. All right. Which leads me into my topic, which is I found an article about humor, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the first statement is the poor are funnier than the rich. I'm not sure that I think that's true. I don't know if that means that it's easier to make fun of poor people. I don't know if it means that the poor people have a better sense of humor. I don't know if it means poor people tell jokes better. I don't know if it means that that if you're much more likely to be a comedian if you're from a poor family than a rich family.
Hmm.
I guess it's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
A joke is never just a joke. It never has been. Humor is about risk and privilege. For women and other groups traditionally exiled from the centers of power, it can signal the transformation of speechless outrage to persuasive vocal and creative audacity. I remember being at a conference 25 years ago, and the subject was why women have no sense of humor. And I said, because it's not humorous to feel you have no power. That humor is a statement of power. Here's something that I absolutely agree. Men like Jackass the movie, but women don't. Same goes with the Three Stooges, Seth Rogen movies, and pranks generally. I think that's true. I think most women do not get the Three Stooges at all, and most men think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Do you like the Three Stooges?
I've never really been a huge fan of them. I mean,
okay, well, good.
You know,
then you're a sane human being. You're an evolved man. You don't do the thing with the putting, trying to stick two fingers in your eye and using your hand at a 90 degree angle to block.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you love that.
No,
you love that.
No, I've never.
It's just stupid.
Yeah,
it's just stupid. Yeah.
You know, I enjoy.
All right, but here's the line in the sand. All right, are you ready? You have to answer this honestly.
Okay.
Do you like fart jokes? Oops. You just, okay.
No, well,
okay, enough said. The silence said everything. Okay. There's, now you don't have to worry about your testosterone anymore. They're saying...
See, I was going to say...
Yeah, good luck. I want to hear how you recover from this.
No, I was going to
say... Go for it, Manny. Uh-huh.
That I like fart jokes in good taste, but really...
Oh, what do you mean?
There's no such thing. I know. That's
exactly. I like fart jokes that are in good taste. Good luck, Manny.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, there's something called the Tupperware mentality. That says that women preserve humor by keeping away from potentially hazardous male criticism. Working women of earlier generations did not believe in taking the risk. We've come to see in the last 20 years that carefully cultivated risk-taking is essential for success. Humor can be a great part of the process and reward of success.
Hmm.
I think that's gobbledygook, to be quite honest. But I do think that if you're a woman working in a man's world... like moi, that you have to be very careful about, because a lot of male humor is either dumb, you know, fart jokes, or it's sexual. And quite often the butt of sexual jokes are women. So first of all, a woman telling an off-color joke is not a very good idea because it can easily be misinterpreted. Men, I think, are surprisingly unwilling to have women tell smutty jokes. They're willing to tell smutty jokes. They're willing to tell smutty jokes about women, but women telling smutty jokes doesn't work terribly well. If you look at women's humor, that men tend to make fun of all sorts of things, including women. Women tend to make fun of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, from Phyllis Diller to Joyce to everybody. I mean, what can I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
The amusing, creative, and witty person in the group is among the most powerful of its members as long as his or her humor is used to draw the individuals together under the aegis of the comic moment, as opposed to tearing down or gagging members of the team into silence. The witty person is one of the most valuable leaders in any workforce. I would probably disagree with that. I think that that's not the case. I think that the court jester is the one that people like, but they don't take them seriously. So I don't think that's true.
Okay.
And even in school, that the most powerful kid in school was not the joker. It was the president of the student body or the football captain or whatever. But I think there's a special place for the humor, but it's not a powerful place. The idea of comedy being a low form and tragedy being a high form of art follows comedy around like a piece of toilet paper stuck to its heel. I don't know that that makes any sense. We imagine it's natural to regard comedy as inferior to tragedy, natural at least for educated people who have acquired postgraduate taste, despising spectator sports and never watching television. We say that comedy is inferior to tragedy. We join hands with Pat Buchanan, Marie Antoinette, Rush Limbaugh, and Caligula. What a group. Comedy is not demanding, It does not demand or take. It gives, and we know that any agency that gives cannot be worth much. Tragedy is sleek and single-minded. Comedy is rumpled and hospitable to any idea or agency. Tragedy stares us out of countenance. Comedy winks and leers and drools. Comedy is all dressed up. Comedy is always taking things off, mooning us. You know, I think that, again, I think it's kind of, he's very articulate, but I don't think it's very accurate, other than that it's kind of what we were talking about in a different context of remembering your successes, but paling in the light of your tragedies, hence Kentucky, that they could giggle about their successes, but when it came to losing, that was tragic and that overwhelmed. So I don't think it's so much that comedy is mooning us. I think that comedy we view as positive, and positive almost always gets trumped by negative, and tragedy by definition is negative. So I think he's missed the point. His conclusion is correct, but I think for the wrong reasons. That as human beings, that which at which we fail, that which felt terrible, has more gravitas by definition than things that enlighten us, that make us giggle. We view them as less important because one generates fear and the other doesn't. And things that we fear are going to remain with us longer and going to seem more important because they're more dangerous. So I think these are interesting conclusions for the wrong reasons. When we can laugh, we declared ourselves the winner no matter what the situation, because our laughter is an indication of a perspective and control. I agree it's perspective. I don't think it's necessarily control. To be able to lose yourself in laughter is proof that you're confident enough to risk a moment of joyful abandon. I agree. I think that accepting and giggling is more a statement of vulnerability, that because it's less warlike, right? You're less prepared to fight. Humor allows you to redeem parts of your life that you thought were lost to pain or anger. Humor can allow to reclaim, reframe, revise, and revel in making a story out of a moment of loss or embarrassment. We've talked about that on the program, of things that you thought, that you dine out on, that things that seemed terrible at the time seem hilarious in retrospect. And at the time, you can say, I mean, I found myself saying, you know, in 5 years we'll laugh about this, just not right now. Redemption is what humor is all about. You can tell the story. You're no longer somebody something happened to. You become the subject, not the object of what happened. Well, you're in control of it because you're telling it. And even if you're telling it on yourself, I think it's why women's humor so historically focused on themselves is because instead of feeling like they were these terrible things that happened to them, that they weren't pretty enough or that their husband didn't love them enough, or that they couldn't get a job, by retelling the story, they become in control of it. Humor allows you to elevate and explore rather than denigrate or hide your feelings. Humor doesn't dismiss a subject, rather opens it up for discussion, especially one that's not considered fit for public discussion. Hence, fart jokes. Manny, you're going to have a hard time living that one down. If you ever tried to run a group, address an audience, or teach a class, you already know that when your audience laughs with you, you've got them. Humor is a crucial way to reach goals and spark connections between people. It's potent, it's memorable, and when used with thought, insight, and intelligence, it's one of the best uses of our emotional, psychological, and spiritual energies. So some different ways of thinking about humor. You know, I was tempted to have you guys call in about with jokes, but I kind of learned the hard way. That, I mean, first of all, if I ever do a program on jokes again, which I may get conned into, I mean, I did one about, what was the one that I did last week that I decided I was never going to do? Oh, April Fool's, which is the same thing. That the first couple jokes are great, but then people keep telling the same jokes over and over again, and by the fourth time you've heard them, it's very hard to be convivial. 855-99-DR-JOY, I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
For health and vitality for you, your family, and friends, get the Healthy Start Pack from Longevity, as recommended by registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
If you're a junk food junkie, getting on the Healthy Start Pack is one of the best ways to wean yourself off of processed snack foods and start putting good nutrition in your body. If you have a loved one who's dealing with heart disease or any health challenge, the Healthy Start Pack makes a great gift. If you have a grandparent or a parent in a nursing home, you will be amazed at the difference a once-a-day dose of the Healthy Start Pack will make in your loved one's energy levels, in their memory, in their mood, and in their general outlook on life.
Give the gift of optimal health to your loved ones and order the Healthy Start Pack from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
By now you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com. Today.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Arthur, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Howdy.
Hello.
Hi, Arthur.
Hi. I spoke to you in January. I'm 63, and I spoke to you because when my sister and I were in teens, we did a little fooling around.
Right.
And she died recently.
Right.
And I was bothered by what happened, but what could have happened.
Right.
Because I figured, I kept getting the vision that, the family splitting up and dividing two ways or being totally rejected, stuff like that. Nothing seriously happened. Like, it was all fondling, and there was a mutual masturbation thing. But other than that, that was it. And the worst that came out of it, she just didn't talk to me for about a year afterwards. But then after she died, I was thinking, well, something went wrong, and people drew conclusions and other things and all that kind of stuff. You suggested I write things, I write it down and review it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and then I wrote out all the other scenarios that may have been, including, if she said no the first time, or if we, in the beginning, we're just supposed to get undressed together. There wasn't going to be any touching, but that happened on like the third time. So I drew up the scenario that just continue on with that, and then the ones where the family, drew aside and didn't talk to people for years and years, and that's probably just going to get over with. So I've taken your advice and review it, and I'm not 100% happy with it, but I'm a lot better than what I was before.
Well, good.
I think even if, like, we did stay to the original plan and just get undressed, although I think I could accept that. I didn't think that would bother me.
But Arthur, as you're finding out, sometimes thinking about worst-case scenario is, it's not comfortable, but it's better than thinking about boogeyman. Of thinking,
right.
And it sounds like, how old were the two of you at the time?
15 and 17.
And who was a 17-year-old?
She was.
Yeah. We talked about several months ago, that being curious about the opposite sex is a very common phenomenon. And given the fact that you've got somebody basically right there, that you don't, it's a lot less scary in some ways than having to talk with a schoolmate about, gee, we take your clothes off. It's convenient and it's not scary. So it's not uncommon. But as you point out, to a certain extent, thinking about worst case scenario may be less frightening than just allowing your mind to think what could have happened. But realistically, the incest taboo is a pretty strong part of every society. And while it varies greatly about who's okay and who's not okay, there's no such thing as a society that doesn't have some kind of taboo about who it's okay to have sex with. It doesn't talk about who it's okay to spy on, which is a whole lot of teenage movies, as I'm sure you're aware. It doesn't have rules about who it's not okay to sell tickets for your friends to look at. So there are all sorts of flirting with sexual behavior in families, but the taboo is pretty strong. So both of you clearly decided at some point that we're getting awfully close to a line that is not okay, that feels scary or uncomfortable or immoral or just plain wrong to either or both of us. So while I think there is some value in looking at worst case scenario, or not worst case so much as what would have happened, that it didn't happen, and it didn't happen for very specific reasons, is that both of you had some internal sense that it's naughty to do this, it might make our parents uncomfortable, but we're still clearly on the okay side of what's not okay and what is okay.
Yeah, and after again, 2 months she was done with that, so that put an end to doing anything with her. But then I took advantage of every chance that I get just to expose myself to her.
Well, but again, that if this was something that she really wanted you to stop doing, she was older, she was wiser, and her way of dealing with it was to understand that there was a bit of a temptation there. And so what she did was she just cut off any kind of conviviality with you at all. She stopped talking to you, which wasn't to say that she wasn't still curious, that she wasn't still titillated, but she understood that she had a bit more of a responsibility to you than you did to her, just because of the age difference. And maybe because she was female, because certainly for your generation, the notion that men were kind of out of control, sexual predators, and women were the ones who had to be the gatekeepers was pretty common. So as much as it was a mutual, consensual kind of behavior, that at some point she decided that, okay, this far and no farther, and that you still tested the boundaries, but it was very clear that she could have probably, I mean, first of all, she did stop you, and second of all, that she did at some point not only forgive you, but sort of acknowledge that, okay, this is something we both did, but we're not going to do it anymore, and we're not even going to acknowledge that we did it anymore.
No, that was never spoken after that.
Yeah. So hopefully, as you said, that this is something, it sounds like it's a secret you've kept for 50 years.
Yes.
And I would encourage you to continue to kind of explore it emotionally, not with your sort of grown-up mind as opposed to your 15-year-old spermy haze mind. And, you know, and if you want to, certainly talking with a therapist may be a useful idea or not, depending on how you feel about it. But as you can tell, just the simple exercise of thinking about it, what would have happened, what could have happened, why did it not happen, has been a comfort to you. So the next step is really up to you, whether this is something you want to continue to explore and find additional relief from it, whether you feel like you've done enough and so it's not so burdensome anymore, or whether you want to talk with a therapist about it and do a little more exploration with somebody else kind of holding your hand and seeing where else, what other things may sort of come to mind is completely up to you. But I'm glad you're feeling better about it and not quite so bedeviled.
After she put an end to it, whenever I showed up naked in front of her, like it was like she wouldn't acknowledge me at all.
Yeah. Well, she decided that she put the line in the sand. And because you were the younger brother, not only the younger brother, that she felt that you know, that's all she needed to do. She never told on you. She never never scolded you. She just said, okay, I'm not playing anymore. And she did it in a very gentle way. All right, so next step is really up to you, Arthur. I'm glad you called me back. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.